You adults, I will discover, I hope, that on the fourth Sunday when we have a children's sermon that I change my format a little bit in order that the whole audience here might benefit from the preaching. I won't always promise to do this well, but it's my desire at least that the preaching touch adults as well as children. I want to read something first as we begin from the second chapter of Acts. This is called the birthday of the church sometimes, when the Holy Spirit falls on the church and tongues of flame are seen among the believers and they all begin speaking in different tongues. And then it says this, Peter, speaking to a crowd after this has happened, the people outside have imagined that all of these who are affected by the Holy Spirit are drunk. And in a sense, they are. You know, we use the word spirits to refer to liquor, and they are all certainly filled with the Spirit. And sometimes when a person is filled with the Spirit, they look a bit overcome. You might even think, outwardly looking at them, that they were drunk. But what's going on inside is the opposite of what happens when the spirits are the other kind. And so Peter, filled with the Spirit, is talking to the crowd outside, and he says, these people are not drunk as you imagine. It's only the third hour of the day. That's about 9 a.m. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsel of God. And your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. That's from the Amplified New Testament. What it says is that there is a promise from God, promised by Jesus that he would send the counselor and he would come, promised even by the prophet Joel long before that, that there would come a time when God's Spirit was poured out even on the youngest. Even on the youngest. And all the way to the old men who would dream dreams. The Spirit would leave no one orphaned. All would be filled and touched. We hear this in the Gospel of Mark today. Mark is an extraordinary writer of the Gospel. Mark was Peter's friend. Even Peter's disciple, you might say. Peter taught him. And when Mark writes his Gospel, when you read Mark's writing, it's all electric and immediate and filled with action and excitement. And Mark uses the word immediately 26 times, more than any other writer. Mark doesn't dilly-dally about anything. It just happens right then. Very much like Peter. Peter's the one that jumped out of the boat to try to walk on water. And Mark was Peter's good friend. And Mark writes about Peter, or about Peter's story, very blunt. Peter, don't tell anybody this, but Peter messed up all the time, made mistakes. Got in a lot of trouble. Jesus loved him anyway. Don't tell anybody. Here's what Mark says. This is Mark 1, verse 14. We heard this read by Ben just a little bit ago. Later on, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. At last the time has come, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. That means not pretty soon, it means right here. It means bursting through. The kingdom of heaven is breaking through into our lives. That's what Joel predicted. It's what happens when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit falls. It's what happens when God speaks to us, even today. The kingdom of heaven breaks into this kingdom that we live in. Turn from your sins and believe this good news. This is Jesus speaking. What he really says is repent and listen to this good news. And then it says, one day Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon, that's also Peter, it's another name for Peter, and his brother Andrew fishing with a net because they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, come be my disciples and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went with him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat mending their nets. He called them too, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went with him. Jesus calls these people. These are grown-ups, but he calls us too, even when we're not quite so grown up. Me, I'm not very grown up, even though I'm really old. Jesus calls me too. Just as he did with Simon and Andrew and James and John. And what did they do? Did they putz around? Did they procrastinate? There's a great word. If you want your mom to do something for you and she's just taking her time and not getting it done, you say, Mom, quit procrastinating. Okay? That's a great word. Yeah, we all know a lot about that, I suspect. Procrastinate or putz around. That's another word. Quit putzing around. And okay. Did they do that? Huh? No, what did they do?
Immediately.
That's Mark, immediately. I love Mark because his personality just bursts through the pages of his gospel. You feel Mark when he's writing because he's so immediate. They responded immediately. They heard Jesus' voice and they responded immediately. Now, I think that's a terrific thing. I think that kind of response is important and life-giving. But there's another secret in this which is also really important. Because when Jesus started in this gospel that we heard today, what did he say? Repent and believe the good news. Have faith in the good news. Here's what the repent part means. And kids, adults have a hard time learning this. If you can learn it now while you're still a kid, it'll make being an adult way easier. Here's the thing. Did you ever do something wrong? And you just don't want to admit it? You know? Your mom says, did you do this? And you go, no, not me. Wasn't me. Yeah. And did you notice how the longer it goes that you don't admit what you did, sort of the worse you feel? And then the question comes back again, maybe a day later. Did you break that bowl? No, Mom, not me. Yeah, it was the wind. Yeah. Maybe we have mice or something. Wasn't me. And the more that you delay and not admit what you did, sort of the crummier that you feel. When Jesus says repent, that's a big church word. What it means is look at what you did and admit it and turn around and go the other way. In other words, when we mess up, what Jesus is saying is admit it and trust the good news, because the good news is that we're forgiven. Jesus says, it's okay, you're covered. Thank you for admitting what you did. You're covered. And what happens for us inside? I don't know about anybody else, but whatever weight I carry around that I've gained by eating too much, I have way more weight that I carry around by not admitting stuff that I've done wrong. Anybody else? The truth will set you free, he says. That's absolutely right. The secret here in Mark of immediacy is the whole secret of the gospel. And that is that when we confess, we don't do that just because we're under some legalism and we better do it or we get beat up. The whole principle here is confession is freedom. It lifts that weight. It sets us free. If you would, it gives us wings. Why would we want to wait? Why would we not want to be free of that right away? And that's what these disciples did when they responded to Jesus. He says, repent, admit what you've gone on, and turn around. Leave it behind. Go the new way. And they responded immediately. They had understood that spiritual principle, that idea that we are happier, freer, for more of our lives, we are fulfilled for more of our lives if we say, I did it, I'm sorry. And then God just pours blessing into us. Now these disciples heard Jesus' voice when he walked over to them. Acts 2 tells us we still hear Jesus' voice. We still hear the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. He still speaks to the little children, to the adults. One of the ways that he speaks to us is by our conscience. We know when we've messed up. Oh, come on. I'm an adult. I don't need a parent to tell me when I've done something wrong. I know. When I was a kid, I didn't even need a parent to tell me what I'd done wrong. I knew. And it isn't to be shamed and filled with guilt. There are times maybe when that's important. But mostly, I think, the whole weight of conscience, in a sense it's a weight of the Holy Spirit on us, is to free us from that weight and that burden of not admitting. Of not admitting. Because Jesus says, when we admit, it's forgiven, it's taken away, forgotten, it is held against us no longer. That's why Jesus says, and have faith in the good news. Because that's it. Your sins are forgiven. You're set free. You can't work your way to heaven anyway by being better and better and better and better. We'll never approach the holiness of God. The best we can hope for, which is plenty, is to be forgiven and to be freed. And so Mark, this man filled with immediacy, basically says to us who are kids in our bodies and us who are kids in our grown-up bodies, that the best thing we can do, the wisest thing, the most joyful thing that we can do is face the sin and admit it. And God's Spirit will pour in with forgiveness and freedom, and that weight will come off faster than any Weight Watchers program on the planet. It comes off instantly. Lord, I pray that all of us would be wise enough to take this free weight loss that you offer immediately and immediately and immediately and immediately. In Jesus' name, amen.